Didn't even get a chance to talk about the Manchester derby, which I know you were very keen to. What's your ideal outcome of that game, by the way?
Manchester United win, the no threat to Liverpool, and Manchester City are. It's as simple as that.
OTB AM, live weekday mornings from 7:30 on the OTB Sports app.
OTB AM with Gillette, proud sponsors of Movember. Gentlemen, let's mow. Michael Verney, good morning to you. How are you?
How's it going, lads?
A very interesting weekend of GAA action. And I want to start with Nace. I think what Nace have done here is very dangerous for the managers who like to go from town to town and county to county and rack up a slew of titles and whatever else comes with that, because they got rid of their manager after the quarterfinals and have now won their first title since 1990. This is a big story, I think.
A dangerous precedent may have been set. Yeah, it's a phenomenal achievement, really. Paul Kelly was managing the side up until, I think, the week before the semi-final, and then there's various theories about what happened in the background, but there was some sort of a hoo-ha, and the manager resigned, and Owen Doyle and Eamon Callaghan took the reins, with both still playing, players managers, whichever you like it, co-managers, and they managed to get over the line, as you say, for the first time in 31 years. It's absolutely unbelievable. Like, Eamon Callaghan was captain. He just said yesterday, "I never thought this day would come." His nickname is Leper. He turns 39 next Friday, and he's a county final winning captain and a county final winning joint manager as well. And then Owen Doyle said after that it was his greatest day in football. This is Owen Doyle, who's still kicking football for Kildare and was picking the team, and no doubt leaving off some of his friends and picking some of his friends. The nature of it, that they had to leave any loyalties aside for Nace, and they managed to get over the line against a Sarsfield side who would have a lot more tradition than them recently. It's a phenomenal achievement, yeah. And as you say, it might force clubs to maybe rethink maybe dishing out sizable amounts of money to managers from outside, maybe who aren't getting results or who have been on the kind of managerial merry-go-round. But it's a massive, massive achievement for them. And I'm sure, like, I don't know if you saw the scenes in St. Connacht's Park after, like, the vast majority of Nace must have been on the pitch after. It was phenomenal. The pitch was nearly covered in Nace people.
That's the thing, Joe. Why has Nace been? I know they've had great success at underage in recent years, and I would be friendly with Niall Cronin from Racing, who was involved in that, and he felt that they had, like, this massive underage talent coming through, and he was involved with the seniors, but it may take a bit of time. But why a town like Nace would it have such a barren 30 years? Is it one of these? And there are towns around the country where they're the townies. They don't commit to it like we do in the rural areas. Like, why would it be 30 years?
I don't know, but I'd say that the rest of Kildare is very concerned that Nace might have finally got their shit together, because the Hurlers have been dominant in recent years and very progressive, and taking the underage teams out of the Kildare scene to get them better as well. So we'll see if Nace becomes a juggernaut. They may well, and look, you'd have to hope that this has some kind of knock on impact at inter-county level, but I do think you can't trust the goddamn players. That has long been the narrative, and it turns out maybe when you trust the players and you listen to them, they might know best.
Yeah, I can't see the two boys being joint managers now next year from the start of the season, because it probably fell very well for them in the sense that they just had to take the reins for, well, God only knows how long they'll go on in Leinster, but most of, you know, what they wanted to have in place was in place. All the hard training was done, all that S&C work was done, and they were in a good position. They were in a good position going into the semi-final anyway, and the lads managed to keep the train on the tracks very well too. It's interesting too, you just say about Nace. Nace is a massive hurling stronghold within Kildare, and I suppose Newbridge would be seen as the kind of football capital at the moment anyway, just given Moorfield's dominance and even Sarsfield's dominance over the last 15 or 20 years. But maybe that will break over the next while now. It's a huge, huge success for them.
Yeah, and big catchment area and plenty pick for them as well. So, let's move on, because we want to talk about Ballyhale. And Colin Fenley confirmed, I think what people probably knew was that he'd finished as an intercounty hurler afterwards, that he's going to stay hurling with the club after they won yesterday. Was this expected, or is it a bit of news?
No, to be fair, I do think it was expected. When you take a year out from intercounty hurling in your early 30s, it's highly likely that you will not be getting back involved. Even the same with Stephen O'Keefe. in Waterford, who took a year out last year. I think he was only late 20s. It's very, very difficult to take a year out at that age and come back in. Obviously, we don't know if there's any mitigating circumstances or anything going on in the background for why he took that year out, but he seems happy with his decision yesterday. Interestingly enough, like, Ballyhale are that good that Colin Fenley was held very, very well by Tony Forrest yesterday, and Owen Cody was held very, very well. Neither scored from play. They still clocked up 3.19 with an array of other players chipping in. They're a phenomenal machine, and even it's a long way away, I suppose, at this stage, but they're already heavy favourites to win the Club All-Ireland again. That was a fourth Kilkenny in a row. They had done back-to-back All-Ireland titles before last year. They obviously didn't get a chance to do it last year. So to be going for a three in a row, it would be a hat-trick, but it would be 3 in 4 years, but it would still be 3 in a row. They're a phenomenal machine. Like, James O'Connor came in and replaced Henry Shefflin. One of the most unenviable tasks you could imagine in the GAA, coming into a team back-to-back All-Ireland winners. And he was able to, as I say, no more than the lads in Naas, he was able to keep the focus on winning. He was able to keep the focus on, there's more in us. This is a golden generation. And now this will be his first crack at Leinster and maybe a first crack at All-Ireland as well. So there's no stopping them anytime soon. And just new faces coming in. Ronan Corker, brilliant yesterday. Brian Cody, brilliant. Joey Cuddihy. TJ was brilliant, obviously, but he has more lads chipping in around him now. And it's a fair statement that Owen Cody and Colin Fenley can be held, and they can still clock up 3.19 and win probably pulling up at the end, because O'Loughlin's threw absolutely everything at them. And in fairness to O'Loughlin's, they were up 3 points at half time. Probably deserved to be a bit more up. Ballyhale hit 2 goals early in the third quarter, and O'Loughlin still managed to be up at the third quarter. And one of the big talking points from yesterday would have been Kilkenny defender Paddy Deegan, who's been playing in the forwards all year with O'Loughlin's. I don't think he ever played there before until this year. He ended up with 2-3 for them yesterday and was absolutely outstanding from start to finish, and took the fight to Ballyhale from start to finish. And it'd just be interesting to see, will be that be something that Brian Cody will look with, or will he be back cornerback again next year?
Is he, where would he play in the forwards for Kilkenny? What kind of role would he have?
He could play on the inside line and come out, but I would say he'd probably be best as a half forward. He's phenomenally fit, phenomenally energetic, really, really good work rate. Probably your stereotypical half forward in the modern game now, I would say. He'd be able to get up and down the channels, and I wouldn't be a bit surprised if Cody's interest in him as a forward was kind of peaked yesterday, because he was brilliant, and he has an eye for goals as well. And he mightn't look the most natural forward, but he just gets the job done. And this isn't just the county final yesterday. This is a common theme across the whole championship. He's been one of the better forwards in the championship. So
right.
Colin Fenley stepping out, and he was obviously gone last year. Maybe Paddy Deegan could end up in the forward line. It was another O'Loughlin's player yesterday, Conor Heary at wing back. He could be another one that Brian Cody would be interested in. A big, powerful wing back. I believe he was in the cadets the last couple of years and couldn't even commit 100% at club level, but I think he has most of his hard training done, and I wouldn't be a bit surprised to see him in around the Kilkenny squad either next year.
All right, that's maybe what you need to be up to if you're going to be trying to go up against those Limerick lads. A bit of cadet training wouldn't go amiss for everybody. Croaks, Kilmacud Croaks remain on course for a Dublin double. Paul Mannion was good again. The big what if hanging over Paul Mannion is he going to come back and play inter-county football again? Everybody's kind of almost blah blah blah. Yeah, it's definitely going to happen. It looks like he would be able to step straight back in.
Yeah, he's been one of the best club footballers in Dublin this year. Kicked 4 points at the weekend, 2 from play, 2 from frees. He doesn't look like physically he's lost anything at all. He still looks that really, really powerful force. And Dublin just can't afford to have players like that not involved. He obviously didn't see that much game time in 2020, and I don't know if that was part of the reason why he stepped aside. But you'd imagine there's a lot of conversations happening behind closed doors now, maybe with Jack McCaffrey, maybe with Paul Mannion as well. Paul Mannion definitely looked like he hasn't skipped the beat at all. And Croaks on course for the double. No one from the two starting 15s I can see actually involved in both starting teams. And there may be some among the squads as well. But they were brilliant against Coole the week before in the hurling, and they were brilliant at the weekend again against Ballywood. No one would have foreseen them winning as handily as they did. And on the other side, they're playing a St. Jude side that they haven't got over the line. They've been in around semi-finals and finals a lot in the last decade or so, and they have an influx of players from up the country, like Pat Spillane Jr., son of the great Pat. He was man of the match the other night. I think he kicked 3 points. Dave Mannix from Austin Stacks, he would have looked at his own Austin Stacks side, his native Austin Stacks side, booking their place in the semi-final at the weekend in Kerry, and then he books his place in a county final with St. Jude's. And they've Niall Coakley from Cork and many other guys from the country as well. It seems to be the place for all the cultures to go if they want to kick football in the capital, but they've got a serious squad put together now, and that's going to be a really interesting final.
I mean, that's long been a good tactic to bolster your numbers, hasn't it, to get the Cultures come and play for you. Is Pat Spillane Jr. good enough to play inter-county? Is he at that level after a performance like that, or is he kind of not at that stage of his career that would have happened years ago?
Just reading some kind of comment from a lot of locals in Kerry, say that he's really, really trimmed up, and you know, he's really progressed an awful lot since he came to Jude's compared to when he was playing with Temple Noe. He obviously won a junior All-Ireland with Temple Noe. I'd say he's probably a few years off, and the fact that if he's based in Dublin probably wouldn't make it particularly easy to be committing to Kerry at the moment. But it just shows the massive conveyor belt that they have, even if they haven't really got it together properly at senior level to be winning All-Irelands yet. You know, when you have players like that going and shining in other counties, it can't be a bad thing. And I'm sure he'll relocate back down to Temple Noe and Kerry in the coming years, and he'll definitely be an option for them anyway, and one of many options.
Let's talk about Malky O'Rourke, because he was involved at the weekend in the Derry Senior Football Championship. Glenn beat Schlochneil. I think everybody's familiar with the Schlochneil story. Malky O'Rourke has put together an absolutely brilliant coaching CV.
Yeah, amazing. In fairness, Ger, he was with his native Fermanagh. He was brilliant. He was brilliant with them. They progressed through the divisions in the league, moved on to Monaghan. He really, really established them as, a bona fide Division One team, a team that was, in the top five or six every year, won a couple of Ulster titles. They're obviously very close to getting to an All-Ireland final as well when Tyrone defeated him by a point in 2018. Now he's gone back into the club game, and you kind of think, these guys that step off the inter-county treadmill, they don't disappear. They're always back involved with clubs and usually doing some really, really good work. And Malky got the Watty Grahams, the Glen, over the line yesterday, and they were very, it was a comprehensive defeat of a Schlochneil side who have, been challenging for All-Ireland honours in recent years. And yeah, he's a massive CV, and you'd imagine it's only a matter of time before he comes back in. Maybe he could end up back in Monaghan again, or he could end up back in Fermanagh again. But guys like that, I'd imagine Malky O'Rourke's phone is always buzzing in the winter time with someone trying to get his services. And, that was a big win for them. And interestingly enough, a side effect of that for Schlochneil probably means that they're concentrations are solely focused on the Ulster Hurling Championship now, and they've been very, very close to getting to an All-Ireland final in recent years as well. So one door kind of closes, but I'd say probably another one is open for Schlochneil.
Alright, the Ulster Football Championship's looking like it's going to be pretty tasty. You've got Scotstown Gaels, that's Rory Began, and St Eunan's both in having won at the weekend as well.
Yeah, Ulster is unbelievably competitive. You say, Glenn, after winning, their first Derry title in a long time, that, they'll be in the mix in Ulster. And then you think of Scotstown, Rory Began, and, the Hugheses and many, many more. They're seasoned veterans at Ulster level. St Eunan's letter Kenny, obviously. They did the double as well. They won the hurling the week before, and they won the football yesterday. Not the most aesthetically pleasing game against Niamh Connell, very, very defensive, but they won quite handily enough. And that, no more than the Ulster Football Championship at county level, at club level, the provincial championship up in Ulster is going to be massively, massively.
This game was on the box, wasn't it, Michael?
Yeah.
I had friends in my WhatsApp group just saying, I think they were having a bit of banter with Eamon McGee on Twitter. Is like, this is a joke. How can you play like this for 55 minutes?
Yeah, it was a hard watch now, in fairness. And that came directly after, a 3:19 to 3:15 thriller in Kilkenny. And, that's why I would always say that, even a bad hurling match, I think, is an awful lot easier to watch than a good football match at times, but that definitely wasn't a good advertisement. Imagine, it's just, you can't get your scheduling right the whole time, but if Naas, or even if the Meath final between Wolf Tones and Dunboyne, which Wolf Tones won by a goal, were on TV, it probably would have been a better advertisement for the game. But
St. Eunan's Hurling County final in Donegal was probably more entertaining than the Donegal County football final, is that fair to say?
There's my argument, Johnny, yes. even if it was a poor standard, I would say it was better, but yeah, listen, sometimes it's just a matter of getting over the line at this stage anyway. And people would always say, up in Donegal, I know Jim McGuinness said in his book, conditions often dictate the way that football is played. When the Atlantic Ocean is beating in off you and there's usually a wind blowing in your face, you usually have to try and play a sort of possession game where you hold on to the ball. But whether that means you put as many people behind the ball defensively as those teams did, I'm not sure. But
the one counter to that would be obviously the county of Kerry, where obviously it never rains and it's never windy. It's not mountainy whatsoever.
And all they want to do is kick the ball, yeah, and that's all they do. Yeah, in fairness, yeah. No, that's a fair point.
Last one is Mullin Yachta are back. The Giant Killers, who were one of the romantic stories of the club championship a couple of years back, they're ready to go again.
Yeah, the miracle of Mullin Yachta, that was probably more than the Mead ladies this year. I'd say that was the story of the GAA year in 2018. Just unbelievable scenes. When they beat Crokes in that Leinster final in Tullamore, just brilliant for a half parish. And interestingly, the other half of the parish was playing in the Cavan final yesterday. So Gauna, which is the other half of the Mullin Yachta parish, they drew against Ramory United in the Cavan final yesterday. And by all accounts, the Mullin Yachta lads would be celebrating in Gauna. That's where they celebrate. So I don't know if Gauna was kind of, if half of it was kind of quiet and half of it was full of Mullin Yachta people last night. But it's interesting. Mickey Graham was obviously the messiah when they won the Ulster in 2018. And he's back involved in a coaching capacity with Mullin Yachta. So the split season does allow clubs to get some really, really good inter-county coaches and managers potentially involved in the club season once the county season finishes. So he had the magic touch with them a couple of years ago, and he's back involved in a coaching capacity under the manager, Kieran Fox. And that's not the only Cavan connection. Keane Mackey, who won county titles with Castle Rattan in 2018 and 2019, he's going out with a Mullin Yachta girl, sister of the two Rogers brothers that are playing from Mullin Yachta, and he's actually living down there now. So he transferred in 2020 and he was man of the match yesterday, kicking 2 points, and was kind of really pulling the strings for them as well. So there's plenty of Cavan connections there. They're right on the border, but they could go on a run again. They were impressive yesterday. Played a Mostrom side that hadn't been in a county final since the last won it in 92. But they went about their business really, really professionally. And so it's going to be interesting to see maybe if Crokes win in Dublin, they'll get a shot at revenge at some stage at Mullin Yachta in Leinster.
All right, we'll wait and see. Michael, good stuff. Thanks a million. Cheers.
Cheers, Johnny.
It's Michael Burney with a roundup of the weekend's GAA stories.